prognosis, Fertile Myrtle? Minus or plus?
There it is. Little pink plus sign is so unholy.
That ain't no Etch-a-Sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undid, Holmes Gillett.
Just tell him.
I'm pregnant.
Who is the father?
It's Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker? I didn't think he had it in him.
Hollywood kind of likes that story nowadays, don't they? Between Juno, that's the bit of the trailer from the movie Juno, about a young girl, probably 16, 17, who ends up pregnant and then decides to keep the baby. Hollywood likes the story. And the media likes the story, too, when it's a vice presidential pick. And she's waiting on a granddaughter or a grandson from a daughter, 17, pregnant out of wedlock. I'm wondering, we Christians, we don't want to see our kids pregnant out of wedlock. We don't want to see our kids having sex before marriage. We've almost adopted a mindset. The best thing to do is wait. Wait not just for sex, but wait for marriage too. Do the two necessarily work together that way, waiting for sex and waiting for marriage? Now, before you become alarmed, this is what I'm asking. It's audio open lines. By encouraging our kids to wait for school, career, financial security before they marry. After all, everyone thinks it's irresponsible to marry too early nowadays. But by encouraging them to wait for all of these things before they marry, are we unintentionally putting them in the way of undue temptation? 1-877-623-MYIE. That's our call-in number this Wednesday, September the 3rd. 1-877-623-MYIE or our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. While you're thinking about that question, think about this one. Have we Christian parents, career, school, financial security ahead of marriage? We've gone along with the culture, and the culture says, wait to marry. Wait until you're out of school. Wait until you got some money in the bank. Wait until you have some prospects. Wait until you have a career underway. And we Christians, in a lot of cases, have said, well, that seems like a responsible thing to do. But in doing so, have we put school, career, financial security, and all those other things ahead of marriage? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. I sometimes wonder whether some Christian parents, if given the choice between having a daughter, let's just say a daughter for the sake of argument, that is marrying at 17 and a daughter that is merely having sex at 17, might not consider it more scandalous to have a daughter that marries at 17. They might consider it more irresponsible or less responsible, as the case may be, to marry at 17 than to have sex at 17 and wait until after school and career and financial security to marry. What do you think? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, I'm having these thoughts, these questions, as a father of a daughter who will very soon be 17. Jeff has kids at home. They're all little, and the girls are especially little. The two middle ones for Jeff are little girls. He's got a long time to wait, and I imagine he'll be dead by then, because by the time that these girls are old enough for these questions to occur to him, I'm sure he has nightmares about it already. By the time that happens, he'll be an old man. I'm still relatively a young man. I started having my kids a little earlier than he did. But you just mentioned to Jeff, premarital sex. You mentioned to Jeff, dating. He goes white. I used to, too, before I had all the white kind of knocked out of me, and I had to eventually start breathing again as a father. You know, God created us. I don't think anyone would deny this. God created us to start procreating early. I don't know if it's good nutrition or if it's clean drinking water or whatever it is, but people used to reach sexual maturity later than they do now. And now we reached sexual maturity, especially the girls, pretty early, especially compared to the long history of our race on this planet as creatures of God. God created us, whether they mature at 13 or 17 or 18, to begin procreating early. So why is it that Christians are saying don't have sex until later, but even more forcefully sometimes saying don't get married until later? We want the two to remain together. Christians want marriage to be the context for sex, and that sex remains firmly within the boundaries of marriage. So by telling our kids that marriage has to wait until you've gone to school, until you've gotten some money in the bank, and until you have prospects and know where you're headed in life, are we tempting them to pull sex out of marriage? Give me a call if you want to call in anonymously. Feel free. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. It's open lines a little bit later in the program. In hour two of the program, two great guests, Jennifer Roback Morse, will join us. We'll talk a little bit about, well, the news story that's occasioned these questions and these thoughts on my part. Vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin and her family are much in the news. She'll be speaking tonight, by the way, at the Republican National Convention. We'll find out what Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about Governor Palin as a pick. And then Dinesh D'Souza joins us. He is going to be debating Christopher Hitchens, the famous new atheist, September the 10th at Powell Symphony Hall in St. Louis. He's written the book What's So Great About Christianity. We'll be talking to him, and he'll be responding to the arguments of atheists old and new coming up in the last part of Issues, etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Think with me on this one. I want you to help me think this through, because these questions, while I've tried to be careful in how I frame the questions, these questions are born of just thoughts that have been occasioned by vice presidential nominees and their daughters pregnant out of wedlock, worries of a father who has a 17-year-old daughter himself. And then you see it all around you, of course, in the news, in our entertainment, children pregnant out of wedlock, unmarried mothers. 50 years ago, it would have been considered a scandal for a girl to get pregnant out of wedlock. But it wouldn't have been considered a scandal at all for a young woman to be married at 17. What's changed, especially in the sensibilities of us Christians? 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. This email comes from Robert in North Carolina. He writes, "This question really brought back a long struggle that I had with this issue when I was a teenager. I'm now in my 40s. I have a teenage son and daughter of my own, and whether I like it or not, I cannot ignore this issue any longer." Robert writes, "I remember as a teen thinking it was so unfair. Why did God bestow me with these hormones and desires, yet prevent me from satisfying them? My youth pastor used to respond with what I'd called the food analogy. It went something like this: God gave us appetites and desires for certain types of foods, but if we ate all bonbons all day long, we wouldn't exactly be treating our bodies as a temple. My response was then, in my independent Baptist church," writes Robert, "well, at least I don't go to hell for being fat." "Now, 25 years later, I find myself seriously considering discussing birth control options with my kids. Believe it, folks, if you've got little kids at home, especially the girls, and they're going to grow up, they will. You can't stop them. Put all the books on their head you want. They grow up. Sooner or later, you'll be having these thoughts just like Robert and me, especially my teenage son, where the temptation seems so much stronger," says Robert, "than when they were back in my day. I don't have any answers and continue to be in prayer about this. Have we sold out to modernism by encouraging our kids to wait for marriage and thereby, perhaps unintentionally, put temptation in their way to have sex before marriage? Would some Christian parents consider it more of a scandal for their kids to marry at 17 than to have sex at 17? I mean, after all, what will all the people in the parking lot at the megachurch think? If my daughter gets married at 17, better she just have sex at 17. We can keep that quiet and private." 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's Bob in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Doing very well.
This is Bob Smith from Fort Wayne, actually.
Hi, Bob. I recognize your voice.
Okay. I've got a few more things to throw into the fire, if you'd like.
All right, throw away.
Okay. How old was Mary when she gave birth to Jesus?
Yeah, some scholars say if they were following the pattern of the day, she might have been as young as 15. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, or perhaps even right after puberty in some cases. So some scholars might argue that she was 12 or 13.
All right. What else do you want to toss in there before we take our break?
Okay, one more thing is that the pastor who was the longtime pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Dr. Wilhelm Seeler, married his bride of 16 when he was 44.
Was that his first wife?
That was his first and only wife. They were married some 40 to 60 years.
That is very interesting. I think that gives a whole new definition to the phrase robbing the cradle, or at least robbing the debutante party. My, how our sensibilities have changed. Oh, do it sometime. Go back and look at the church records, if your church is old enough, at how old the men were compared to their brides. We tend to think about more than 10 years of a difference between two people, unless they're older, as, you know, a little unseemly. Well, look at those church records. Good, godly church people, 40-year-old men marrying 17-year-old girls. And now we think that if they wait until they're 25, that may be too early. Are we putting our children in the way of undue temptation by telling them, wait for marriage? Wait for marriage until all these other things are in place. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's open lines, issues, etc.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Liz Pinero Thompson, Laura Mashoff, Mary Suda, Melvin Belke, Mike Suda, Wayne Scheip, Sandy Cook, Jeff Rolfe, Christopher Coleman, and Molly Hagen. Thanks for your support.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Seem Sood is a woman from New Delhi, India, who suffered from advanced rheumatoid arthritis for years. She became bedridden and totally debilitated from the illness. In her despair, she wrote to the President of India asking her to allow euthanasia. The President didn't give her permission. Since then, Seem's gotten effective medical treatment and her condition has dramatically improved. Seem then wrote a letter thanking the president for not allowing her to be euthanized. In response, the president invited Seem to someday climb the steps of the majestic presidential palace and meet her there. Seem, who now teaches math and chemistry, has a goal. After further treatment, she plans to accept the invitation of India's president to visit. Death was never her answer.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Half hour left in open lines. Second hour, Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest to talk about vice presidential nominee Governor Sarah Palin. And then we'll respond to the arguments of the atheist Dinesh D'Souza will be our guest. Then it's open lines, the question I've laid on the table. Do you think that by encouraging our kids to wait to marry until after school, career, financial security, and whatever else we want to throw into the mix, we are unintentionally putting our children in the way of undue temptation? I'm talking about sexual temptation. Have we put these things, school, career, and financial security, ahead of marriage as Christians? And I wonder, this is just my take, and I might be wrong, so please feel free to correct me. If in some suburban churches where everyone feels real good getting in the car with all the teenagers and after a feel-good service, driving home in their BMW or their minivan, whether or not some Christian parents, if given the choice between their daughter marrying at 17 or just having sex at 17, would consider it more scandalous for the daughter to marry at 17. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Who do we want to go to first here, Jeff? I see callers. You want to talk to Cindy first? Let's talk with Ben in Brookfield, Illinois. Hi, Ben.
Oh, good to talk to you.
Hey,
and,
Ben.
What an excellent topic you have today.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was going to say, I've actually talked to people who, young kids, when I say young kids, you know, late teens, early 20s, whose parents have discouraged them from marrying because they say, well, you need to get financially stable. And I often wonder, at what point can you really say we're financially stable in this world?
Oh, man, that's a big question. That's a whole open lines all by itself.
Yeah.
We'll have Jeff make a note of that question. Okay, so you're running into parents that would consider it irresponsible to marry early.
That's right.
Because of the money issue.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, kind of inherent in that is, hey, you might be fornicating, keep it on the down low. What we don't know won't hurt us. But don't get married because you're just not ready for that. I mean, things are so completely upside down, it seems to me.
Go back 50 years, Ben, and a pastor that would have been confronted with the choice between, pastor, it's better to marry than to burn. We're 17 years old. We would like to marry. The pastor would have said, I now pronounce you man and wife.
That's right. Let's go over into the church and let's get it done.
Yeah. And I'm wondering whether Christian parents, and Ben, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for listening up in Brookfield. I wonder whether Christian parents have gotten their heads completely turned around backwards. I mean, all of us on this, that we would rather have our kids, as long as they keep it quiet from us or from the neighbors or from the pastor or from our fellow parishioners, fornicating than marrying at a young age. Let's be honest, or at least try and be honest. 1-877-623-MY-IE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Cindy is listening in St. Louis. Cindy, thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. This is something that has always bothered me. I'd rather have kids get married early because I got married when I was 18, and I always felt guilty about it. And I never ever had anybody ask me, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And then I say, I want to be a wife and a mother. And, you know, they gasp. And when I was a little girl, all I did was play with baby dolls. And I had a kitchen. And I had an ironing board. And I had dishes and pots and pans. And that's the only thing that I ever wanted to be was a wife and a mother. And I enjoy that vocation. And when I learned about Lutheran vocation and that was a good job, that was so freeing to me. I mean, it made me the happiest person you wouldn't have believed. But I always felt guilty about just wanting to be a wife and a mother.
So you felt guilty for marrying young?
Yes, I did. I felt embarrassed to admit that I married, because when I'd say I was 18 years old when I got married, people will gasp. But I will be married next June, 44 years. And did we have tough times? Are you kidding me? Yes, we had terrible tough times.
Would you trade any of it for anything?
Not a penny. I mean, not ever. Because God strengthened our faith in him through those difficult times constantly.
Cindy, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Dan is listening in the Twin Cities. Dan, welcome. How's the traffic there due to the Republican National Convention?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was driving back into the Twin Cities from Wisconsin last night, there was this dark and brooding cloud over the city, and I'm just thinking, what's going on?
You joke. What's your question or comment?
I wonder if another cause of this might be this day and age, it seems like maturity levels have gone down the tubes, and it's not uncommon to hear about 30-some-odd-year-old men still living with their parents rather than being reliant on themselves out in the world. And I wonder if the reduced maturity level might be one reason why some parents are saying marry later.
Okay, extended adolescence. Thank you very much, Dana. Thanks for listening up there in the Twin Cities. That's a good question. I mean, are parents saying, look, they may be sexually mature, but they are emotionally and psychologically immature. They're not ready to marry. Something I'm sure that our parents were saying about us when we married earlier. Kathy's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, this is a good topic. I think you've discussed this before as well, and it's made me think. And I have a 19-year-old, and I have a 15-year-old, and then I also have a younger one. And my 19-year-old is engaged, but they're not going to get married until she's out of college. And my son won't be finished with his education for 4 years. And I do have concerns about this with them. And he's bought her a ring, and they're talking about what they want to do for their wedding. But I do have concerns that they're waiting these 2 years and what that will mean for their relationship. But there's some practical things, as there a lot of times is. She lives in Illinois, and she's going to college there and couldn't get the same same kind of deal that she got there in the state of Missouri. So there's concerns about that, and she has a severe heart condition, and so we were concerned about her insurance. So there's those concerns, but I know in my family, my brother has told his children that they are not to date until they're out of college. Now, they go to church regularly, and he was surprised. Apparently, my daughter had gone to spend the night with her cousins, and he was surprised that we were going to let her double date starting at 16.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks, although that presents a whole another can of worms. Kathy, thank you very much. To say, okay, you're not going to date till you get out of college. Why wait until – that's what I want to know here. Why have we suddenly as Christians decided that not only the responsible but in some cases it sounds like maybe even the moral thing to do is to get out of college before you start looking for a mate? Why have we decided that? Did we decide that on the basis of the Bible? Did we decide that on the basis of good practice in the church? Did we decide that on the basis of the culture? The culture that says, well, you're just irresponsible if you're not completely prepared to live the suburban lifestyle of the middle-income couple before you say I do. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org by encouraging our kids to wait until after all these things to marry. Are we putting them in the way of undue temptation? Have we put marriage behind things like school, career, financial security? And some parents, some Christian parents, do you think they might consider it more scandalous for their 17-year-old daughter to marry than their 17-year-old daughter simply to fornicate, as long as it's kept private? 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dave in West Virginia sends us an email. He says, wow, provocative, but a Christian parent considering it a scandal to marry, for children to marry rather than to become sexually active at a young age? Marriage is a holy institution ordained by God, says Dave. It is right and appropriate for an adult male and female to marry and remain married for life. It is a good thing. Sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage is universally condemned by God, period. Higher education is not a holy institution ordained by God. Though it is good for some people, it's not necessary for preserving the race or even for society. When do we let people grow up? I've been watching my daughter for the past year or so and saying to myself, I won't try and chase away suitors. She now seems to have one. And I'm all right with this young adult lady marrying, though she hasn't been to college. I might end up going and might not end up going to college. Is it necessary that she pursue a vocation which requires a college education? And she seems to have inclinations towards service, which does not require a college education. I can't find anything unbiblical about that. And there are people listening to us right now, Dave, in West Virginia, who are saying, well, that's an irresponsible father. He's okay with his daughter, his young daughter, marrying before she goes to college? Such irresponsibility. They might even think that it's immoral to do such a thing. And I wonder why that is. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's open lines. When we come back, 10 more minutes of open lines with these questions about marriage, marrying young, telling our kids that the responsible, maybe even the moral thing to do is to wait, and perhaps thereby putting them in the way of undue temptation. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Dr. Alan Gomez, Kate Clark, Sheila McLean, Chancey Clark Sr., David Zimmerman, Mike Mabry, Brandon Wilkins, Dave Woodmansee, Robert Tarvane, and Bruce Long. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Frank Simek, Angelica Weiss, Brett Simek, Deborah Cruzy, Pastor Floyd Smithy, Tim Brammeyer, Katrina Oberdeek, Bill Graham, Jared Ackerman, and Susan Lestico. Thanks for your support.
Hello.
Hi, this is Allison. I don't know if you remember me.
I have something I really need to tell you. I'm pregnant.
With a baby?
Yes.
Then what are you hitting on me for?
How did this happen?
This is a disaster.
Aren't you supposed to be married to have a baby?
You should be, because they love each other, and people who love each other get married and have babies.
Well, we're talking about marriage, waiting to marry, our kids not waiting to have sex, Christian parents who might consider it a scandal for their kid to marry at 17, but not so much a scandal, at least not as much of a scandal for their kids to fornicate at 17. I want to know what you think about it. Are we encouraging our kids to, are we leading our kids into temptation by telling them that they have to wait to marry until after they got school, career, and financial security all in their back pocket? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines this Wednesday, September the 3rd. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Craig is listening in Pasadena, California. Craig, thanks for waiting.
Hey, Todd. You know, morally, no, it's not wrong for a young person to get married like that, but morally, as a pastor, I would have a hard time saying yes to marrying a young couple like this simply because, well, we know that the leading cause of divorce is marriage, and when you get married at a really young age like this, we know that the divorce rate goes much, much higher. And so there's a maturity factor that we don't have in America that we had 50 or 100 years ago. And so you need to throw that into the hopper also in all of this that, you know, okay, yeah, you don't have to wait until you're financially stable enough or, you know, you'll never get married or a lot of that sort of thing. But what about the maturity factor in all of it?
Okay, that's been raised before. Stay on the line here, Craig.
Yeah.
The maturity factor that we've got these kids that will remain adolescents apparently into their 40s or something like that. And I think if we waited for them to be out of the adolescent stupidity, we'd be encouraging them to wait until they're middle-aged to marry. Okay, that's part of my response. But what I want to know is, is there a theological basis or a theological foundation? I mean, we all understand that we have this perpetuated adolescence and the maturity and sociological factors play into it. Is there a theological reason behind all that?
Well, you know, Luther, when defending the faith, said, if you can't prove it to me from Scripture or common sense, we don't necessarily divorce our common sense from our theology.
Agreed.
So common sense tells us in the 21st century, 18-year-olds getting married doesn't seem to work very well. And the divorce rate is extremely high with people at that age.
All right. Thank you very much, Craig. All right. He presents some common sense arguments of his, why maybe it's better for us to wait these days as opposed to, say, 50 years ago when it was considered better not to wait in those days. What do you think about it? What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. David in St. Louis writes this: Genesis gives the pattern. A man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. How many 17-year-olds are ready to live independent of mom and dad? Oh, that's interesting. So it sounds like Dave in St. Louis is suggesting that the Genesis, and it's not just Genesis, Jesus repeats this again as well, that the Genesis account implies financial independence. Do you buy that? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I don't know if that Genesis count says that you have to be financially independent, able to live apart from mom and dad before you can get married, or that it would be somehow immoral. I don't know if David intends to imply that it would be immoral or violating the command of God to marry before you're financially independent. Golly, I mean, financial independence is hard to come by. I can't really say I've been financially independent, and I've been married for 22 years. Is it 22 years? Somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm at that amount of years that I can't calculate. You're bringing up a topic, says David in North Bergen, New Jersey. You bring up a topic that I've been recently brainstorming. I remember hearing a sermon from Albert Mohler on a very similar topic. He made the case that the church has to put way too much emphasis on being content rather than looking to marry. That message, though preached a few years ago, still looms large in my mind. It makes me think, what happened to this culture? People did not wait this long. Pastor Mohler also said that the case is that this generation has more single people in their 30s than previous generations, yet people in their late 20s are being told to just be content. I'm afraid that I've been severely affected by this. Dan makes a good point about the maturity level, however. David, thank you very much for listening in New Jersey. Paul in O'Fallon, Illinois, he says, encouraging our children to attain goals such as college, job, etc. prior to marriage doesn't necessarily put them under undue temptation, but it can. He says, 1 Corinthians 7:2, because the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, each woman her own husband. That was the passage I was thinking of, too. Doesn't put an age limit on it, by the way. Why do we encourage them to wait? Paul says, aren't we playing God ourselves by thinking that we need to make sure that everything is in place to have a successful life? Marriage is a gift of God for mutual support and procreation. It has to be better that marriage occur, St. Paul says, because the temptation to sexual immorality, and trust God to care for the Christian man and woman and their potential children, rather than forcing them to wait and be tempted into sexual immorality, as you say. You see, Paul's concerned about the temptation to sexual immorality. Here's Ryan in Champaign, Illinois. Ryan, thank you for waiting.
Hi. I would have to chime in and think that it's largely due to finances, I guess, over theology, because I guess I'm heading into my junior year, and I cannot imagine being able to, I guess the biggest problem for me would just be to be able to live apart from my parents, and that would be what is tough, because I can't imagine being married and still living under your parents' house. That would be weird.
Although it has been, I mean, if you look back 50, 100 years, that would not have been unusual at all.
So maybe that would be an avenue for parents to promote more. But it goes against the grain of everything that, you know, our culture promotes.
Right. Our culture says, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Ryan, and thanks for listening in Champaign. Our culture says you have to be prepared to live the suburban middle life lifestyle. You got to be prepared to make two car payments, a house payment, maybe a boat payment, put the kids into daycare and private school. I mean, I'm just telling you what the culture says. How much we buy into it is a different matter. You have to have all of this, if not in place, then at least potentially in place before you can responsibly marry. And you wonder why kids divorce at the rate they do. Now, go back to the days when the divorce rate was 1/4, 1/10 of what it is now. Go back to those days when the parent said to the young man, well, you love her? Yeah. You going to marry her? Yeah. You're going to have to live in the basement? All right, Dad. Do you love her? Yes. Are you going to marry her? Yes. We're going to have to build a house for you on the other side of the yard. It may take a couple of years because we don't have the money. All right, Dad, I'll help you build it. They found their security someplace else. Very odd. This email comes from Kevin in Ohio. Is there a fear that with the increasing divorce rate that marrying young will lead to higher divorce rates? We somehow have to come to grips with fornication, and there is little shame attached to it, but are still afraid of the shame of divorce. Oh, that's a good point. Health insurance also seems to make everything more complicated. Yeah, health insurance. You have to have all that, don't you? I mean, it's practically immoral to go through life without health insurance. Kevin, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Ohio. LaVon in Webster City, Iowa says, I can't believe that there are other people out there that feel the way I do. I've been beating myself up for feeling this way. My third and youngest child has struggled all her years of school, and she's now a senior. She thoroughly loves waitressing and wants nothing more than to be married and have children. We have been stressing so much that she is going, what she's going to do for a career and what college she can handle. I made the mistake about mentioning some of my Christian friends that I wasn't pushing her to choose because I felt that college wasn't meant for everyone and that just because you don't have a college education, you are a success in the society. They shot me down very quickly, says LaVon. They said that there's always time for marriage and kids. What about there's always time for college? You see what I say when I ask the question, have we put school and financial security and living the middle life suburban lifestyle ahead of marriage? Have we said that all of this, marriage has to fit into all of that rather than all of that has to fit into marriage? Do you see what I'm saying? One of our very first emailers said, marriage is the thing that God instituted, not suburban middle class income, two car payments and a house payment, college education. God did not institute any of those things. Those are good gifts. Don't get me wrong. But the gift that God gave was marriage. And are we telling our kids, oh, by the way, God has this gift waiting for you, but you're not qualified to take it. You're not qualified to grasp it and receive it in faith toward the God who gives it and created it. You're not qualified. Unless you're smart enough, rich enough, responsible enough. I'll tell you what. My parents, if they would have taken that tack, would never have married. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today, probably. No, it's not that we have to fit marriage into college and career. Marriage fits into those things. All those things fit into marriage. Rather than waiting for marriage, maybe we should think about waiting for all the other nonsense.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.